Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining our weekly Women Veterans Speak Blog Talk Radio program. My name is Kathy Santos, the founder of the National Alliance of Women Veterans, and we are pleased to have you with us on today. We're headquartered here in the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and we are delighted that you have joined us on today's program. And we are looking forward to having a wonderful discussion on today. And our topics today will be general, but we will certainly have our regular guests on the program with us. I'm going to ask if you would just stand by while I configure something on this dashboard. Just stay with us for one moment, please. We'd like to apologize for this technical glitch that we just experienced. We'd like to welcome you back to our Monday's Women Veterans Speak broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio. Today we're going to be discussing some general topics. However, I would like to start our discussion with commending the recent event held in Washington, D.C. by several women veterans groups. On military sexual trauma, led by SWAN, and I'm hearing that it was a wonderful venue. I'm not exactly sure what to expect. I think it's going to be occurring again next year, according to their reports. But I would like to hear, you know, something more specific that went on. I think it was clear that in the representation of the 27 states, I'm not sure exactly what we can expect nationally, but they raised the awareness. That was clearly one of the benefits of this venue. And we are just proud that we continue to push this very complicated topic on those who may not be as familiar with the culture and the goings on, if you will, from military employees. And particularly those who serve in uniform. And I got a report back on just the other day about a rise in the numbers of reported prostitution incidences or the fact that there is an increased revealing of the amount of prostitution in the military. And it comes on the heels of the CIA or the undercover story reported by the CIA who were in Colombia recently. And there was an incident there at a hotel where there was somewhat of a lid taken off of what should have been a very discreet situation. It was exposed in a way where I would say that we can see into one of the most organized groups of our government, the CIA, the FBI, and the various entities to protect and to provide intelligence to our federal government, now is being a part of such a scandal. So we just have to keep our eyes and ears open for these different reports behind the scenes that are now being shared with the general public. Years ago, we would never receive this kind of information. But we're just glad that now we can see that we have these type of flaws in our government that can render, hopefully, the kind of professional attention that we can have these issues addressed. And present, we have Blackhawk on the line. I'm going to invite her on the line. I want to commend her for her direct and most articulate accounts of her experience with our intern on last week where we met. And I thought her abilities to recall and to share funny and interesting accounts from being in combat zone. And we're going to be reporting more on this. I spoke with the intern school on this morning, and I expressed to them her interest was so strong and unexpected, and we had to tone it down just a little bit because of the complexities of some of the subject matter. So I'd like to invite Blackhawk in right now to share a little bit on what's on her mind, and maybe we can have some further discussion about the CIA and anything else that she may feel is on her mind right now. So we'd like to invite you in. Sorry for the technical glitch, but as you know, these things happen. But I was persistent in getting us back on the air. So the mic's open to you, Blackhawk. I'd like to just have you just open up and share with whatever you like at this time.
Hello, Kathy. Thank you. Hello, listeners. I would like to address directly and specifically the prostitution fiasco in Colombia regarding a $47, shall we say, entertainment specialist and our members of the government that work in national security, protecting the president, and things of that nature. One thing that I would like to bring to your attention once again, listeners, and Kathy, as you already know, there is a website, VTN, the link is posted. And they go into great detail about why 13 individuals would be pretty much transferred and or dismissed and or slash gagged over a $47 entertainment specialist. One of the main reasons is because, if you do not recall, at the very same time, we were conducting a very sensitive operation regarding airport security and a bomb that could not be detected using current overseas protocol to embark the plane or deplane a commercial aircraft. The reason why everybody was directed to look towards Colombia was so that the American press and overseas press, which had already leaked that this was an active investigation regarding something that could have caused several mass catastrophes around the world because it was a bomb that was, until we were able to completely get our hands on a working model, we really did not have all the technology that we needed to know in order to prevent these things from happening again as they happened previously. That is what you call a situation of, since all of a sudden they want to daggone be so concerned about what's going on with these airport security things and people putting bombs on planes, let's go ahead and make the world look in the complete opposite direction of what was leaked to the media at a very inopportune time. Once again, Kathy, these things can be documented. They are documented on that link to our website. The reason why I often become very concerned about us giving live air interviews to employees or personnel that really would like to know what is going on, you have something called Everything Is Not For Everybody Yet. if they had continued to allow the world media to concentrate on there's something going on with the airports, you would have created a case of mass hysteria. You would create a case of one of those games where, you know, they used to call it telephone line, where you would say something, people would be sitting like a dozen people in a row, and the first one would be told the truth, and by the time it got to the last person, it would sound like something from the Outer Limits. So, unfortunately, no. Listen, prostitution is, escort services are rampant in all forms of the American government. And it is very quietly tolerated. Hey, has anybody heard about Marilyn Monroe and JFK? But in this particular instance, that ugly little secret about prostitution, no, trust me, she cost a lot more than $47, was leaked purposely so people would not blow the rest of an undercover operation that had been going on for a very long time. That is the problem when you have information given before it should be disseminated. The reason why they brought it up, yes, they should have been brought up the things about the prostitution fiasco, but the reason why it came out when it came out is because if they continue to pursue what was going on, which could have killed a whole bunch of us God-given human beings on this earth, courtesy of a couple of fanatics, that entire operation would have been completely undermined and would have caused a lot more risk, not only to civilians or individuals that use airplanes as a means of conveyance, but the information regarding who was providing information in that regard to prevent these types of acts of terrorism from reoccurring, their sources, how we were tracing how it went from getting made in somebody's bad nabbit backyard to getting onto a commercial aircraft, which could have very easily, and I know this may sound a little bit xenophobic, wound up within the borders of this great nation, killing United States American citizens and their families and anyone else that considers this place to be one of the safest countries in the world. And that is the reason why that came out at that inopportune time, because what they were trying to go ahead and reveal would not only let Al-Qaeda and all the terrorists and all the fanatics in the world know we were on to that little dirty trick, but we also had exposed a whole bunch of other things that we are trying to prevent from reoccurring and where we're getting the information from regarding those knuckleheads as well. So please, would you understand, and would you please be so kind as to our less, shall we say, knowledgeable citizens about why things happen the way they do, give them the real information as opposed to them running around with no information. Thank you. Please forgive the timbre of my voice, listeners. Back to you, Kathy.
Thank you so much. I wasn't prepared for you to have that much detail today, but I tell you, that was something apparently one of the key advocates here did share with me over the weekend, so I thought it was worth at least putting out there. And Richmond.com, a newspaper, TimesDispatch.com, prostitution and the United States military. Let me just read a little bit. Recent news that 9 military personnel and 11 Secret Service agents allegedly solicited prostitutes in Colombia has sparked a congressional inquiry, institutional investigations, and much speculation about how such an act might threaten presidential security. Were these men just a few bad apples? Maybe, but the American military has a long history of sanctioning prostitution, one that suggests much deeper concerns about its cultivation of a sexualized culture that can help to explain such an astonishingly brash act. Although the Civil War's General Joseph Hooker is probably the most well-known military commander to officially sanction prostitution, he is certainly not alone. American military history is littered with officials who drew connections between a soldier's sexual habits and his battlefield performance. Now, you think about military sexual trauma. That, too, was a hot topic leading into the military rape summit that was just given this week. So I look at it all at when we look at past tense, I look at also about the women who are present trying to keep this to the forefront. So I was looking at it from that angle as well. You talk about it from the Secret Service agent on not being truthful or being more surreptitious about the bombs that could have come to the United States. I'm looking at it from the whole concept of military rape and how it's viewed by and historically been viewed. And we have now this whole enlightenment and awareness with these present-day activities and these women who are not stopping. They are full force ahead fighting this issue. So let me just read this a little bit further about how this historically has been an issue. It states, as General George Patton put it most famously and perhaps most crassly, if they don't blank, that's in brackets, they don't fight. How about that? Other less explicit officials feared that soldiers would, in fact, have sex and that they would acquire venereal disease in the process. The military reconciled these two seemingly contradictory beliefs by providing prostitutes for men in the hope that a regulated system would be safer than the alternative. It was General John Pershing who said the best way to handle a difficult problem. To be sure, the military has also explicitly forbidden personnel to engage prostitutes, and it has punished those who ignored the order. And yet, such prohibitions existed alongside the military sanctioning of that very act, which is hypocritical, and it always has been. When I was a military wife in Captain June, North Carolina, they had a full street. Everybody knew that Court Street was where the prostitutes were. And let me tell you, they had mostly I'm going to tell you, the Korean woman, veteran, a woman, a prostitute, they were dancers. And these women here looked for men who had brought them over into this country when they served in Vietnam or whatever, and they were workers. And they divorced their husbands, and they were working, and they established foundations for their families to come to this country through prostitution.
Correct.
So this is nothing that's new to me, and because it's always been an issue, the Filipino women, when they had army bases in Philippines, and it's not unusual when they have army bases outside of the United States, even in this country, there's always a known outlet for men. Okay?
That is correct.
And I think you used the term for professional entertainers or whatever your word was. I liked it.
That is why I did it in that context, Kathy, because I am acknowledging, yes, you and I both know as military women, prostitution has always been side by side with every combat unit in the United States military. My point is, yes, it is kind of fortunate that they are bringing up the fact that this is one of the main reasons why women tend to become very harassed and assaulted that happen to be military women, because the theory is, well, at least they know you had your shots, if that is not crass enough for people to understand. My point is the following. In this particular instance, although we have got the hot, you know, like a hot burning fire on their feet regarding military women being raped, and sexualization of females that are in a combat or in an environment near military installations as a whole, we have a hot light on that. The reason why this came out when it did was because of a totally separate reason. So sometimes, you know, because we are military and we are women, there's two separate reasons why that came out when it came out. Okay, and so I was just trying to go ahead and assist our listeners and a lot of other people in addition, to look at things and look at the entire picture of why things occur sometimes when they occur, especially when it comes to military operations and the security of our citizens.
Well, you know, that experience and intelligence, you know, it does lend a different measure. But, you know, just to fast forward it and even to make some parallels between our existing activities on the issue of military sexual assault, which was the underlying story behind this. Let me just read the last paragraph in this particular article, and I'm going to flip this over to you so that you can have this article because I think it'll be it'll serve good for your repertoire of information. But the last paragraph to this says, if Congress or the military wants to get to the bottom of the prostitution scandal in Colombia, or if it would like to seriously address the alarmingly high rates of military sexual assault and continue to plague American women in uniform, it needs to begin with the military's own history of facilitating soldiers' sexual access to women. Now, I have always said that when I did radio, public radio, for the past 5 years, beginning back in 2005, I talk about the promiscuity that has aligned itself with the military existence since the beginning of the military existence. So
correct.
We cannot deal with the issue of military sexual assault unless we be honest about what's factual and what has been historically acceptable in these environments. So, you know, this is a good topic, and maybe we need to expand this a little bit more next week because this gets right to the core of our fight with the Department of Justice and the Department of Defense in defending what they have been giving open door to for all these years. It's actually been a couple of centuries.
Correct.
So, you know, we need to be serious, and, you know, as much as I like to see, you know, them come back, but nobody wants to listen to the story when I tell it. This has been 5 years I've been reporting on the alignment or, you know, somewhat, you know, walking parallel with these very unethical activities. You know, we wound it down to the last minute. I'm going to give you the last minute, but we're going to continue to talk for about 10 more minutes, and it will be recorded on our archived program. But this is a very, very serious topic, and it just gets right to the core of the matter. And it angers me that, you know, SWAN is doing their thing. You know, what they did, they had 200 women, whatever the case was, you know, but I still say that this is not a platform for being so aggressive. You have to be open and transparent, and you have to show and demonstrate a coalescence with all of those people that are doing simultaneously the same work. I don't care about people getting publicity. If at the end of the day you're missing out on those people who are in rural areas or those areas who continue to suffer and not get the attention, then you've missed the mark. All these women need to be in a shared platform and at least have access to those who are willing to speak for them or have access to these various forums. So, you know, we got to really continue to push this agenda. And I'm gonna look to do something very quietly. I needed to wait until after Swan did their event this past week to collect some information. So I'm looking to have a couple of phone calls today. So I have a couple of calls today that I'm going to be doing a follow-up on this particular activities, and I'm going to be sending this report throughout the country to let them know how we have gathered this information, and we have no agenda, only one agenda. And that agenda is that every woman who has been violated, 220 is a good number. But out of 19,000 reported victims in the past 2 years, it's a drop in the bucket. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, we can bring a little of attention that can make a lot of illumination on the issue if it's done correctly. So we are hoping that these various people were instructed to go over to their areas and continue to promote the awareness of what has happened in Washington, D.C. this past week. You know, but still, we need to be open and honest about the whole gamut of activities to include how the higher-ups have given an open door to these activities and themselves been involved in clubs and scandals. Even Tara Cook was about the officers. You know what I'm saying? This woman made over $1 million in a book deal and all that. But she never came back to the platform to say how would she be stopped. She was just groped. We have women who were beat down. We have women who were murdered. And I think the part of this, the history will dictate. But Maria Lauderback, the Marine woman, wife who was killed,
that they gave out a Maria Lauterbach Award to John Kerry. But so many other women who have been murdered, you understand what I'm saying? Give out awards for all the women who have been murdered. Her
correct.
Death is no more less or important. We symbolized all women with Deborah Garnett Sampson, who is a historical symbol of military women. But to single out one death does not necessarily diminish, but you have to acknowledge all the women who have died as a result of sexual assault, of violence, or rape, murder, caught on fire, whatever the situation was while serving on active duty. But we bring this issue to the table. We have to be honest about it in its entirety, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yes, I most certainly do.
Your victimization is this valuable. Now, the one problem I've had a problem with, too, that reported on many years ago, was the fact that the Department of Veterans Affairs is reporting that African-American women were treated differently because of their life experiences. And I challenged them. How can you tell a woman how they should perceive their violation when it's their own? You know, you can't tell another woman how they should feel about being violated, and who are you to judge one based on the color of their skin, that any life experiences will kind of gauge what their experiences should be looked at, how they should be looked at. So, you know, they actually put this on their website, you know, where they have 16 different nationalities that are women who are veterans, Lebanese, all these different women, but American women, African-American women, whatever the women are, that violation, a shared dilemma.
Is rape. Rape is rape.
Exactly. And you cannot. And, you know, and I'm listening to the men. There were several men who had attended the military, the Truth and, what is it called, the Truth and Justice Summit, the military, military Truth and Justice Summit. The men were saying that the Afro-American newspaper out of Baltimore was the only one that fairly represented the men in their articles. And I still say that men are not women. There needs to be some unique characteristics and boundaries driven, that we are not the same, and we should not be looked at the same. Of course, we share the same experience of rape, but I think men need to address uniquely when they are raped or whatever their situations are, victimized in that situation. They need to have a unique approach to how that is dealt with in the military, because men are men.
Kathy?
Yes.
In regard to the racial profiling of who should accept military sexual rape more in regard to women, I submit the following fact. The overwhelming majority of the perpetrators that rape military sexual women are not of African-American descent. Furthermore, they usually are Caucasian. Translation: they need sunblock. The majority of the main men that violate military women, who happen to usually be on the lower end of the totem pole in regard to pay, rank, and status, is perpetuated upon them by those in the military that are of higher rank, which means higher education, like college, like white people. Was that a little bit too direct?
Well, I would need some data to support that, to come in on it.
Alleged perpetrators, that's also listed with the same, they asked what was the race and sex of the perpetrator. Those records are there, but nobody under the Freedom of Information Act has requested them to be presented in one place. They're there. Each woman that has submitted that she has been violated, they ask you, what is, just like you take a description of a rape victim out here on the street, height, weight, age, sex, do you know where they live? That information is there. I've seen it.
Well, we need to get it and document the data, because we can't have information without having some follow-up report. And I think that when we are identifying a certain class of people as being the perpetrator, I think this is worthwhile to follow up with what the source is of this information. So we're going to leave this open-ended conversation on that piece, and hopefully we can follow up and direct and document the location of this information. And I'm going to leave that subject for further discussion.
Judge Advocate General, Kathy. Oops, excuse me, did I just speak too clearly?
But we need to have the, website wherever it is located. We need to be able to document that so that we can refer and document that that we have utilized some resource, reliable resource for this information. So that's just, I think, will be the respectful thing to do, because certainly my references to what was said about African-American women certainly was appalling, in that the Department of Defense also, and we need to talk also about the reports of that were given from those bills that were passed on during this Truth and Justice Summit,
mm-hmm.
Congresswoman Spears. And
mm-hmm.
it was interesting to me that she specifically addressed those who have been diagnosed and discharged for personality disorder after being
overwhelmingly
minority. Exactly. And then they diagnosed these women with schizophrenia so that they would never be believed on anything that they would ever say for the rest of their lives. And
correct.
I tell you, this needs to be overturned, and this is the kind of thing I'm going to be addressing in my report, not only to Congresswoman Spears, but to everybody that I have named that were participants in the Truth and Justice Summit, because we need to be on the same page. I cannot
correct.
Imagine that all of these women would have covered the gamut of valuable information that has been made available since the past 25 years, certainly, that I have been on this issue, because
well,
there's so multi dimensions.
If I may, some of the reports have been censored using black ink, and some of the findings have been deleted using whiteout.
Yeah, but there's some of us who have original documents, and we need to make sure that what we know to be true and factual and can speak straight from the horse's mouth, if you will.
Correct, and I'm first Calvary.
We need to continue to talk about this and document this. And I sent out an email on last week, the second and the third, where the Institute of PTSD Institute was recording these accounts. Now, I did not participate for a couple of reasons, because I really want to see the outcome. We have so many people that are proclaiming to be experts on this issue that are so far off the mark till it's confusing and just particularly somewhat, it doesn't present a truthfulness, if you will, not by intent. It's just not factual, just by the fact that they just don't know. But they have such a strong...
I've been diagnosed, and guess what? Many of us been diagnosed, and guess what? What happens is when they ask the people that have tried to appeal that in the past, example, in my instance, they said it was PTSD. I said, no, it is not. I'm not crazy, because I know I was assaulted. The problem
well,
is...
Okay. We're going to address this particularly to that bill. I don't recall the number of the bill, but I'm going to address this in a very serious way.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some activities in Washington, but I have to get ready for a conference call here in a minute. Now, I could conference you in on that call if you'd like. So,
well, that's your discretion, Cassie. I'm not sure if we're still in the air or not, but if you... do you want to have me, you know, a follow-up or, you know, like sit in a side chair? Go ahead and text me, and I shall make myself available for that. Just send me the link to it, and I shall do so.
Absolutely. I'm going to, I don't know how the call is going to occur today. I think she's going to give me a phone call. I'm going to try to conference you in. So if you're going to be available about 1 o'clock, another 20 minutes, I'm going to go fix myself a cup of coffee. And
okay.
I have two other conference calls later on today, and I'm going to, see if you're interested in being involved with those, and I'll send it over in a minute. I'm going to make me a cup of coffee, and I'll be ready in about another 15 minutes. And I'll
okay, we'll rally back. Just, like I said, text me, because I'm going to go ahead and grab myself a Red Bull. You like coffee, I like Red Bull. I'm going to go ahead and grab a Red Bull and send me an E on my droid, and we'll get back together before the end of the day.
Okay, that's terrific.
Okay, Kathy.
All right, bye-bye.
Good show.